B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hands it off to Smallwood, runs up the middle, hit by Terrence Brooks, and dropped eventually by Shalik Calhoun as he got across the 40 on the final play of the game. 20 seconds to go before it becomes official. The Patriots started slowly. They trailed for the first time this year, but once they took the lead, there was no looking back at FedEx Field en route to a 33-7 win. It's their fourth in a row in this series. More importantly, it is their fifth in a row to start the season.
Final call, what you heard here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Again, you're just tuning in. The Patriots are on the verge of releasing Ben Watson, if they haven't already done so. Will not be activated by today's 4 p.m. deadline to put him on the roster. He was seen in Foxborough moments ago cleaning out his locker. So, that's that on Ben Watson. That will be my DN Van Lines move around the league. How about that? The Patriots releasing Ben Watson. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover, DN Van Lines. It opened up a thought for you, Maz. What is it?
So, look, to me, this all comes back to Antonio Brown. I mean, I don't know how you get around it. When the people that say, well, it's low risk, you're not giving anything up.
There's no risk.
Well, so that signing bonus you gave him now just cost you Ben Watson, too. So you paid Brown, you lost him. I find it stunning that the Patriots have to release a guy to gain $2 million in cap space. That means they mismanaged their money. I mean, they've mismanaged it to be in a position where if we got to make a midseason acquisition here now, we got to cut a guy that we signed to be our tight end, our primary tight end, because we need the cap space. They mismanaged it.
Well, the mismanagement is because they signed Antonio Brown. I don't know where else further you want to go from that.
Okay, so that's fair, Murray. Again, this is why I say it all does come back to Brown, but you look at it and say, so I want to get this straight. They gave Brown this money. He's not playing for him. They traded Demaryius Thomas, who played yesterday, right? Actually played in the Cleveland game, but had four catches yesterday for 47 yards. Nothing great, but a body, a veteran body, which apparently the quarterback likes, and they cut a tight end. So Brown has now cost him three guys, himself, Ben Watson, and Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
Am I reading that right?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
I mean, how many guys do you have to give up to try to shoehorn that guy onto your roster?
If they've mismanaged their payroll, where has it been? Let me just give you the highest cap hits on the team. Starting with number one, Tom Brady at 21.5.
Not mismanaged.
That's a bargain.
Absolutely not mismanaged.
That's still a bargain. Guess who the second highest cap hit on the team is?
McCourty.
Devin McCourty at 13.4. Is he worth it?
No.
Yeah.
No. Too high.
Okay.
He is, and I'm sure he's been asked to take a haircut, and he told them no, and I don't blame him.
Who's third?
Hightower?
Dante Hightower at 10.9. Is he worth it?
Yep.
Close. No, I would say no, a little high.
Fourth.
Oh, God.
Gilmore?
Stephon Gilmore at 9.1.
Yes.
So after Brady, the next three highest cap hits are McCourty, Hightower, Gilmore. 13-4, 10-9, 9-1.
The big numbers.
You might have the best defense in the league. So
the strength of the team.
But different question.
It's a different question.
Yeah. Am I happy that those guys are here? Yes. But the numbers could be trimmed a little.
Generally speaking, Devin McCourty at 32 years old. And before this year, really a non-splash play kind of safety. He's not a big numbers guy. At 32, at that number, would have been restructured or released, you know, in another time. Maybe this is a new chill bill or whatever. But McCourty typically wouldn't survive that cap hit, but he has. Same with Hightower, who was...
I mean, both of these guys are also like de facto coaches on the field.
And they've been awesome this year. This year, they've been worth the money. Last year, they weren't. And the last couple, they weren't.
Hightower wasn't the postseason.
Hightower shows up in the postseason, no question about it. But over the course of the 16-game regular season, Hightower was kind of pedestrian, I think. And normally, that would cost him. It hasn't. And number four is Gilmore. Number five is Shaq Mason, who's had a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
He's 7-2. The next, Michael Bennett at 6-5. Been a disappointment so far this year.
Yes, I would agree.
Another quiet day yesterday, right?
And I asked Bedard about this yesterday in the postgame, and I'm sure he'll talk more about tomorrow. Would you be shocked if he'd be traded now? Because he talks last week about lack of playing time, and he even gave the old go-ask coach when asked about how he's playing you know, he showed up late in yesterday's game. But with that number, now that's someone I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up getting moved.
The next, I find this interesting. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seventh highest. So Bennett is sixth.
Gostkowski, when does he pop up?
Kyle Van Noy is seventh at 6'2". We're not even close yet, Maz.
So a restructure would have to happen, an extension with him.
So five of your top seven highest paid players are defensive players.
Oh, that I'm okay with.
And you know what? We should be.
That's the way the team is built now.
And they're also producing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the six is, so Brady's one, which they should be. Five of the next six are defensive players, and the seventh is a guard. So it's sort of interesting how they're built. But I have a hard time seeing any real cap mismanagement. You know, I mean, those players are overpaid by their standards. I just want to make that clear. By their standards, usually those guys aren't on the team. How about dead money? Antonio Brown, 5'7" right now.
Well, sure.
That's
a big
brutal.
One. That's a big one.
Okay, do you know that Adrian Claiborne is still on the books for $2
million? Ew.
So that's cap mismanagement. Do you know that Gronkowski's on the books for $2 million? Is that their fault?
No, that one doesn't bother me a ton.
Here's one that should bug you. Brian Hoyer has a dead cap hit of 1.7. Why is he still on the books for 1.7?
Good question.
Oh, and if that's what it was going to be, I don't know. I still have him.
It would have been 3, I think, if he was still here. There was something with that. Like, it was better if they...
Well, I mean, again, these are just cap numbers. Now they don't have to pay him the real money. And I'm sure this Cody Kessler is much cheaper.
See, but again, I want to go back to McCourty and Hightower. Those are significant ones. Because, again, I'll tell you that, do I like those players? Yeah, I do. The numbers are too high. They're too, maybe not by a lot, but maybe $3 million on one guy, $2 million on another guy. That's $5 million. That's your money for Antonio Brown. Like, I like both of those players, but why haven't those deals been redone?
So they have $16 million in dead money on their cap, if I'm reading this right. I'm curious if that's a high number or a low number or a standard number. I don't know anymore. I've lost track.
It's lower than Pittsburgh.
I don't follow it like I used to. And because generally I think it's all nonsense. They can work their way around all of this. And so, that's still how I feel about it. But if we are in fantasy land, if we're going to believe, cover your kids' ears if you're in the car. If we're going to say that the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny are real and the cap is real, if you just want to play that game and we're in that world, is $16 million in cap dead cap money good or bad or somewhere in the middle?
But Mike, if the cap is crap.
It is.
And they can't make moves now because of the cap, then they mismanaged it.
Yeah, so.
I mean, like, I can't I would get say around
using,
that.
I would say they're using it as an excuse. It more often than not. So there's the rare occasion, if you're dumb enough. Dan Snyder and the Redskins have been dumb enough. So, the Jets have been, there have been a few teams that have been dumb enough to actually get in cap trouble. It happens, it's rare, but it does happen. So you've got to be really dumb. I don't think the Pats are really dumb.
Okay, so I'll accept the way you put it, because that's a good way to put it. They're using it as an excuse. Because in order to get cap space, what do they probably have to do to Hightower and McCourty?
Re-sign them and give them upfront money to spread it out over future years and do that thing. Real money. It's a real money equation. It almost always is.
Okay, so to me, that's where the crux of it is, because that's the easy way to get cap space. You go to the highest paid players on your roster, and Brady's different. Okay, because, you know, we all know what's going on there, and you're at a position you are with Brady, and you're going to make exceptions for him anyway. But the other two guys, well, if the cap numbers are too big, and they are, then you go to them, and you restructure, and you give them a little something. So I'll accept that it's a good way to put it. They're using it as an excuse.
Yeah, it is. It almost always is. Oh, we're hamstrung against the cap. Well, you don't have to be. Give this guy an extension, guarantee him some money, pay him some money up front, spread it out over future years, and you're out of cap trouble. Well, you don't want to give him the real money. That's what it always comes down to. Here's where they mismanaged the cap. You want to know where they mismanaged the cap? Matt Slater, 2.9. Nate Ebner, 2.8. Jonathan Jones, 2.7. Landon Roberts, 2. He's been better this year. Okay, John Simon, 1.4. Matt Lacoste, 1.2. He's a rookie. I don't know. Joe Cardona, 700,000. Like, those are the ones. Joe Cardona's $1 million. I'm sorry. Joe Cardona, 9.55 against your cap. Why is your long snapper up by $1 million? I don't know. It's probably a 300 grand difference between the cheapest, but still sort of bugs
me.
Okay,
but if you add together 10 of those, that's $3 million bucks. And 10's a big number, but you know what I mean.
I don't know. Is Nate Ebner worth a $3 million cap hit?
No.
No, that's stupid.
Like, I'll tell you, Slater, how much are you going to save with Slater? You're going to keep him around. He's a veteran guy. He's a locker room guy.
He's worth it. Fine, he's worth it.
But Ebner's a good one. Do you remember? Like,
I'd never notice him. I almost never notice him.
I mean, like, to me, that's an easy one to go at. But again, if we're going to redo the cap, or if you're going to, you know, restructure the cap, then you go to McCourty and Hightower. Why haven't they done that?
Old. I wouldn't give them new money either. Right? So you're either, and I think.
So now you're going to sacrifice the last year of Tom Brady, potentially? Potentially. Because you don't want to throw another few million bucks at Devin McCourty and stretch it out a little just to, you know, soften the blow this year? I mean, to me, that would be worth it.
Yeah. No. I mean, I just answered that off the cuff. I mean, if you're saying doing everything you can to maximize this year, then you would, of course. Yeah, you would. Yes. But I'm surprised McCourty and Hightower have survived on their current deals as it is. Usually a guy like that is restructured or shown the door here. Usually. I mean, or that's the way it was in the past. Maybe they've changed their whole way of doing things. But generally speaking, you know, that whole wave of players, you know, Willie McGinnis never got to this point. Teddy Johnson never got to those guys were shown the door or restructured or cut in salary. They never got to the point where they were old and overpaid. They never were allowed to get to that point. It feels like some of these guys are.
So, you know, look, we're talking about a lot of different things here. All of it relates to money. The bottom line is this. That Antonio Brown decision screwed them badly. Now, look, we'll see how this shakes out here going up to the deadline, which is on the 29th, I believe, right? So you're 3 weeks out from the trading deadline. You just saved a couple of million bucks with Ben Watson, but you should have never had to cut him at all. And you had to do that because of Antonio Brown.
If cutting you Ben Watson gets you Manny Sanders, are you okay with it?
Yes.
Absolutely, right?
Yes. Yes, but the point is,
if cutting Ben Watson helps get you room for Trent Williams, are you okay? Yeah, with
sure, course, yes, of course. But you're now doing financial gymnastics because of Antonio Brown.
Correctamundo.
Okay, so that's a fact. You're doing financial, and maybe really at the end of the day, that's the one thing we can say with certainty, that maybe you don't want to restructure Hightower, maybe you don't want to restructure McCourty, you know, good longtime Patriots, and your defense is the core of your team now. I mean, you're built around your defense now. Unless that changes in the coming weeks, we'll see. But fact, in the first 5 weeks, the defense has carried the offense. I mean, not debatable to me. I don't know how you feel.
Of course. Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the better side of the ball right now.
Right? Absolutely. So you want to say the on this team, the money's in the defense? Fine. You had a little wiggle room, and you gave it to Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, that's where you elected to invest your wiggle room in the 2019 Patriots.
Okay, so once
that's a colossal mistake.
Once again, the impending release of Ben Watson is the Deion Van Line's move around the league. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover Deion Van Line's. Your reaction next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
McCoy under center, Thompson the single back. Motion in the backfield with a handoff left to right and running room for Sims to the 40. Cuts it right to the 45. Out of a tackle down the right sideline, gone. 25-20, 15-10, 5 to the end zone. A speed sweep for Steven Sims in motion from the left. And the rookie out of Kansas gives Washington the lead.
The defense has been so good this year. That was the worst play of the year. Worst play of the year.
No question about it.
Reverse touchdown. The McCourty brothers both had a chance at him. Failed. Was it Harmon that got pushed out of the way?
It was the other McCourty. Jason McCourty.
Well,
too.
No. Yeah, both McCourty. Them,
Jonathan
McCourty.
Jones, maybe?
Yeah, or maybe it was Jones. It was one of them. And then Van Noy kind of gave up on the play. That was the one of the few bad defensive plays they've had all year.
I mean, it really, like,
you can count on one hand the number of bad defensive plays.
Yeah, no, they've been terrific. I'm, you know, and so again, just to take this for what it's worth. It was one play in a season of, you know, nearly perfect defense, but the play was wretched. It, what I, you know, the McCourty brothers apparently even missed tackles together, like the two of them. Horrendous. Horrendous. And they've been so good, the team, at tackling this year. They've been great at it. That play was brutal.
Okay, so, you know, thank God for the competition. A slow start. They didn't start on time yesterday, to the point where, and Murray pointed out right out of the chute, that timeout on the first defensive snap of the game, you don't see that very often. So they weren't quite ready to go, but because you're facing who you're facing, they had time to figure it out, and they did. So we continue with your thoughts. Yes?
You want a quick Ben Watson?
Of course
update?
I do.
He just tweeted, the God of victory is also God in failure. I gave my all, but it was not enough to earn a spot on the at Patriots roster. I'm beyond disappointed, but even more upset for my family, who has supported me with all the love a husband and father could ask for. They are my heroes. Roman 8:28.
So I wonder if he's upset. He ain't going to say anything. They're so good at...
He unretired. He got concussed in the preseason. He got popped for PEDs for 4 weeks. He looked kind of like a fool. He came back, put his body through that, got on the sauce again, and then he doesn't even get to play and they cut his ass? Of course he's upset.
I wonder if he's going to say anything about it.
I doubt it.
They pretty much shut you up even on the way out the door.
Well, and he's pretty dignified guy, right? Yeah. Pretty dignified guy.
No, he definitely is.
So he
and,
won't.
And maybe that's as close as he'll get. Did he thank Bill Belichick? Did he thank
no,
Robert
no
Kraft?
Thanks.
Did he thanks
no.
anybody?
No.
He's got to be pissed. How could he not be? Again, as Murray said, he came out of retirement for it. I mean, who gets released and is happy?
I still think he made $500,000 in the process.
$600,000.
$600,000. So, you know, I don't know.
He kind of looked like a fool for $600,000.
Yeah, sign me up.
I'll do it for $600.
Right. Your thoughts here, as promised. Greg in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'd like to get your opinion on if Bill, you guys think that, you know, Bill Belichick may be losing it this year, because I've never seen so much back and forth, bad movement, in and out, in and out, and we still need a tight end, an OL, and a wide receiver, and, you know, to solidify the team, I believe, and we can win number seven. But this is, you know, they're not, it doesn't look like a priority to them, right, at least at this point.
So is Bill Belichick losing it is how you started your call?
No.
I think the gap between Belichick and the field may never have been bigger than it is right now. And I think that is maybe more to do with no good coaches coming up to challenge him. But I think your coaching advantage has never been greater. So, no, I do not think he's losing it. In fact, I think he's gaining on the field. Now, they got a little bit of an issue with Brady's weapons. They do. They tried. They drafted a receiver in the first round after drafting a left tackle in the first round the year before, after going all in and assuming tremendous risk on one of the best receivers in the league, who's also a pain in the ass, and it bit him. So it's not like they aren't trying. How many receivers did they sign in the offseason? Mo Harris, the kid without the hamstring, Inman, dot, dot, dot. So they've tried, you know, Josh Gordon, even at the middle of last year. So they've been trying.
And that's after throwing money at Humphreys, Beasley, and some of those guys.
Right. So they haven't exactly succeeded. But
so, to me, I just, the big one was Brown. That was a big mistake.
Tim and Quincy, your thoughts?
Yeah, guys, I think Belichick, he's looking at a veteran receiver to bring in. Obviously, there's depth issues there. I don't know if Gronk is just a pipe dream to come back, but it seems when they get inside the 20, Brady has a hard time getting the ball in the end zone. That's the biggest issue I think they have, is red zone efficiency, scoring a touchdown.
So I don't know where they ranked him, but when you're, I mean, it makes sense. They don't have tremendous size. They don't have tremendous individual talent. I think up and down the field, they can scheme it, and Brady can find the, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when you get inside the red zone, it's all sort of, it becomes more incumbent on individual talent, individual matchups. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit if that's the problem. Now,
according to what I'm looking at, they're 22nd in the league in the red zone,
which, given the competition, is really bad. You know, they should, they've played nothing but crap. So to only be 22nd in the red zone is not good. Is not good, especially considering the competition. So I think that makes sense. I mean, could Gordon be more of a red zone target?
He should be. Yeah, he should be. Again, he's a big one. Someone said earlier, with the weapons he has, Edelman and Gordon, I don't put Gordon in the same breath. I know every...
Well, but in the red zone, you should.
Well, he should be a factor down there. And again, this is why I mentioned Demaryius Thomas, too, when it comes to fallout from the Browns signing. Say what you want about Demaryius Thomas, and I know you don't like him, okay? But he's a big target. And he should be able to catch the ball in the red zone. That is why he was here. That's why they brought in him and Harris and Inman. These guys are all big receivers. The whole idea was to catch the ball in the red zone because they didn't have targets down there. And they lost Thomas, they lost Brown, and now they've lost Watson, all because of that Antonio Brown signing. It all goes back to Antonio Brown. They put all that money in Antonio Brown.
Phil and Rivera, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, on a couple things. Just with this, the offensive line, the guys getting hurt, your center's out for the year. You want an old man that's a great coach to coach up all these guys again, which might be hard to do. On getting rid of Watson, you needed a ball, like you guys just said, you need a body in the end zone. He played with Brady, he played with Breeze. What better guy could you have? Why? I mean, you can go about cap money. Are you kidding me? A cap money? Like,
well,
you could.
Yeah. Let me say this:
on defense,
there better be someone coming, Phil. There better be someone coming. If they just saved it to save it, then that's then. If I were Brady, I'd be aggravated with that. If you're telling me I'm cutting Watson to get Manny Sanders or I'm cutting Watson to get a left tackle, like, then you can justify it. If you can upgrade, fine. But if you're just doing it to do it, to save it, then that would be frustrating.
Sure, yeah. Look, I have to believe there's a move coming. Again, they got 3 weeks. They need help in the receiving core. They got to be doing something. I just don't know how the, you know, I can't tell you how all the money matches up. Maybe there's money going out in the trade. Maybe that's what part of the logic is.
Robin Adams. Go ahead, Rob. Robert!
I got to ask you.
Yes.
You're right here, sir. So how did Maz have that crystal ball to say that Antonio Brown is going to be a garbage pick? Because I didn't like the tweet and whatever he did in the locker room, but who knew the stuff was in his background? Maz knew that. He should have told Bill.
Oh, we all did.
Everyone knew.
Rob, we were all against it. In this room, anyway.
Yeah, we don't like the fact he did the garbage stuff in the locker room, but no one knew his history with the women.
Well, the history shouldn't surprise you one bit.
It surprises me.
Well, you haven't been paying attention for the last year and a half. The guy was a ticking time bomb.
Exactly. Go ahead.
That's all. Like, if you weren't expecting that to happen with Antonio Brown, you haven't been paying attention. He did everything in his power to ruin the relationship with the Pittsburgh Steelers, followed by a few months in Oakland. And then for me, the tipping point, because I did want him, but the tipping point was how he forced his way out of Oakland and then posting that ridiculous video with John Gruden's voicemails and trying to talk him and trying to convince him to be an Oakland Raider. That was the last straw for me. I'm like, I'm out. This guy is all about him. He is a mess. He is just going to keep falling all over himself and getting himself in trouble.
Murray,
he's not worth the trouble.
He's blown up every relationship he's had in the last year and a half. And I think that I think that extends to all of his personal relationships. You know, all the people that he's stiffed financially or blown up, you know, in terms of trainers, hangers-on, whatever. He's got a bunch of different kids. Does he have a wife? Or they're all like, there's all these suits out against him and all these claims out against him and all these domestic calls against him. And I think he's blown up every relationship he's had in the last year and a half. So, well, what made anyone think it was going to work here?
Yeah, you got me.
I saw something, too. I think he's blocked. There's reports he blocked Drew Rosenhaus's number. So, like, he's even ruined that relationship. The one guy that was still trying to defend him, he's blocked his number. He's an impulsive a-hole.
I mean, look, after what happened in Oakland, we all agreed that it was, you know, risky. Well, I shouldn't say we all agreed. Many of us agreed. They were taking on some risk by going after the guy, let alone putting the money that they did into it. Just the guy's impossible. He can't function in a team environment. Can't do it. So they took a chance. They took a gamble, and it cost them big. So now let's see how this thing plays out. I'm willing to say, fine, you know, if they end up getting Emmanuel Sanders, they could land on their feet, in which case they get out of it. But at the moment, they're in a little bit of a predicament in terms of pass catchers and payroll flexibility because they went after Antonio Brown.
So what Maz is referring to is what happened today. Breaking news on the Patriots comes your way right here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
And now for the first time since January of 2011, someone other than Steven Gostkowski will attempt a placement kick for the Pats. Point after try for the veteran Mike Nugent. Cardona will snap to Bailey. It's in place. Look at the right leg. Kick is lifted to the uprights. And the kick is no good.
Boy.
Nugent with the errand. Point after try. It sails right.
Sails right.
He is a suck bag kicker off the street. A suck bag kicker just like Gostkowski.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't think so. I think we just, you know, we just need to do things better. We can do them better in all phases of the game. Offense, defense, and special teams, so we'll keep working on it.
That was Belichick asked if he's going to evaluate the kicking situation after Nugent pushes the first extra point, rammed a late extra point off the other crossbar.
There's some English on it, that's all.
When they passed up a 39-yard field goal attempt in the first quarter and went for a direct snap, fourth and one play to Sonny Michel that failed. And, so there you go. So they're going to stick with Mike Nugent for the time being. Short week, I mean, you can see why. You bring a guy, you're going to have a competition the next 2 days to have a new guy out there on Thursday. Nope, you're going to run him back out on Thursday.
In fact, don't you think it, in retrospect, that was really the plan from the beginning? We're going to bring him in because we got 2 games in a week.
Right.
We got 2 games in 5 days. He's joining us on Wednesday or whatever the hell it was, Thursday. So we got the whoever we get has got to get us through the next 2 games. And then after that, we'll see.
What are your feelings on Mike Nugent, Mass?
I think he sucks. Frankly, after that first kick yesterday, I went, holy crap. Like, wow, this is what I was afraid of. Someone who's actually worse than Gostkowski, which I'll take up with Paul Perillo on Wednesday. As much as, how much worse could it possibly be? A lot worse. Gostkowski, he missed extra points. He didn't drill one off the upright, you know, an hour and a half later or whatever it was. And also, at least Gostkowski had range. This guy doesn't even have that. So you're giving up something to add him to the roster. And after yesterday, like, he looked like a guy who hasn't kicked in a while. I mean, that's what he looked like.
Well, and anybody paying attention, again, to some of the beat reporters pregame, you had to expect something bad was going to happen. He was 2 of 5 from 48 and 49 yards and 1 of 4 from beyond 50. Now, he hasn't been able to kick long field goals in the past anyway, but it reeks of being jittery.
These are warm-ups without any defense, any rush, any clock. It's just him out there pregame on his own.
Kicking off a tee.
Driving range.
Everyone's good at the driving range.
not him.
Yeah. Right. That goes to show you that his brain is broken. That's why I was like, oh, boy, how bad's he going to miss today? The first extra point. How perfect.
I mean, after yesterday, I've come to the conclusion that he's only here for Thursday and then he's gone. They're going to bring in
then what?
They're bringing the kid they have in the practice squad.
Young Wei Koo?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I expect him to suck, too.
But that's why but you know what? I'll take my chances, at least with him. I don't know when they might be able to actually attempt a kick from 50 yards or 48. How about that for a novel concept? So this idea of having to go for it now on fourth down all the time, you know, I'm exaggerating.
I know. I gotcha.
But I don't like it. Again, you got to be able to make a 45-yard field goal.
Okay.
And an extra point. So then, not necessarily in that order.
Kicking is still a story on this team. Andrew in New Hampshire, your thoughts.
How's it going? I'm not a big fan of Mike Nugent either, Maz. He didn't look too hot after his missed field goal. But do you guys have any opinions on Young Ho Koo signing the practice squad? I know he wasn't too bad in college, and he actually won an award for...
So where did he kick in college?
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I cut the caller off before you even answered. A quick Google will tell me. So he's more along the lines of what I was looking for, which is no name, big leg, empty head.
Georgia Southern.
Except he kicked in San Diego last year, right? Or the Chargers?
Yeah, yeah.
And absolutely sucked, right? So he's got a head full of bad stuff from the Chargers. Was that last year or the year before?
He went 1 for 4 in 2017 from 40 to 49
So
yards.
Years ago now. Jesus. So what's he been doing? This is 2019. What's he been doing the last 2 years?
Sitting around.
What did he do last year? Seriously, what did he do last year?
Last year he played for something. Well, oh no, he was on the AAF a little bit, the Atlanta Legends, and then that was it. He didn't do anything in 2018.
So what's he been doing? You got to be playing football. He's been kicking in the backyard.
That's what Mike Nugent's been doing.
Right. So I don't, like... I don't know. I told you. No name, big leg, empty head.
See, now you're coming around to where I was last week.
No. I'm not telling you they can't find anybody better than Gostkowski. They can. Gostkowski, the last couple of years, he's had a really nice career. He's been a really good kicker. I'm saying Gostkowski recently, which is these misses at the end of the season, these big games, the extra points. They can find someone to do that. Hell, Nugent actually did it yesterday. He had a Gostkowski day. He did.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so you can find someone to come in here and suck. No problem. But I just don't believe you have to have had experience to do what these guys are doing.
Well, I don't believe that either. I just told you my concern. I took ridicule for saying that I take back everything I say about Steven Gostkowski because I didn't want to turn into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if Nugent's out the door on Friday morning and Young Hoku's coming through the door and who knows what the hell you're getting there, guess what? You're getting close.
Jack in South Boston on the receiving situation. Hi, Jack.
Tony. Yes. I got the answer. And Felger is a pragmatist, and he'll back me up.
Okay.
Antonio Brown. Bring him back.
You're paying him anyway.
It costs you nothing.
Okay, you're paying him anyway. It's right. It costs you nothing.
What do you think the chances are?
Very, 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 very low.
I'd say zero.
0.0?
Yeah, 0.0. I'm with Maz on this. There's no way.
Has he gotten in any fresh trouble?
Well, there was the little meltdown that he had.
At the deposition.
Small potatoes.
Let's see if we can find.
I mean, I would go so far as to use the same phrase that Bill Belichick used when asked about analytics, which is less than zero.
I mean, look, if it's true that Robert was hearing from sponsors on Antonio Brown in his last days, I don't know how that goes away if they re-sign him.
No shot. They're not bringing him back.
They would catch a ration from that crowd.
There's no shot of that. But again, this all spins off of that decision and the money tied into it. And, you know, you said this at the time when they made the signing. You were surprised about the money. And really, that is hurting them on multiple levels at the moment. So they have no receivers, and now they are money to the point where they had to let Ben Watson go so they could recoup $2 million.
Oh, just this whole nonsense that it was no risk. Give me a break with no risk. Give me a break. But I'm still not going to let him off the hook, you know, with the salary cap. Like, come on. You've got ways around that, and you know you have ways around that. And if it's a real budget thing, then, you know, that's a whole now we're talking about payroll, and it's a whole different story. I just do not want to hear salary cap. So, again, in case you are just tuning in, Ben Watson has been released or is on the verge of being released. He cleaned out his locker. He's not going to be activated.
No, he has been released.
Okay, officially released. And so what's the fallout? What does that mean? Something coming in the door. What could it be? Get back to your thoughts right after this long commercial-free segment.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bring in a bunch right, Michelle the single back. Brady under center, and it's a direct snap to Sony Michelle. Runs it to the right, Michelle is hit behind the line.
That's pathetic.
Michelle is dropped as the Patriots went to trickery, and he is tackled for a loss. Just inside the 25.
So it was hard not to put two and two together. Nugent misses the extra point. Then they have a fourth and one at the 22. It's a 39, 40-yard field goal, and they go for it. And that was that direct snap play to Sony Michel. How'd you feel about that play call?
Horrendous.
I didn't like. There was so much about that I didn't like. And the play leading up to it I didn't like. So Josh Gordon, who is obviously dealing with something, a knee, you know, he banged up his hand a few weeks ago. He's beat up. But sometimes his in-game awareness, like, drives me nuts. If he reaches out, like, so he gets spun around and tackled, but he makes that catch. Nice catch, goes over the middle. If he reaches out, he gets the first down. He doesn't do that. So that bugged me. And then they have the whole challenge thing, and it's a bad spot. Like, the refs aren't even paying attention. Anyway, it was clear as day that they were short. But, okay, they try to benefit the Patriots. They challenge. It's fourth and one. The most nails play in Patriots history, or at least in the last two decades, is the QB sneak. Why do you get cute there and do the direct snap to James White? It makes no sense. Just snap it to the quarterback, fall forward. Is it because David Andrews isn't there and they don't really trust Ted Karras, the offensive line, to get a push? Is the 42-year-old quarterback a little reluctant to go for that play now? Because I feel like that's been dialed back. The Brady QB sneak, which I think is like, what, has a success rate of like 96% or something like that since 2000. That bugged the hell out of me. I know it was a long one, but QB sneak with Brady. It's the most money play that they have.
I mean, and talk about a play getting blown up.
So stupid.
So I don't know who it was on that side. It was either Cannon or they had a tight end over there that turned in, and the running back just ran right through the hole and destroyed. It was White, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was James White.
The snap was to White.
James White. You said Michelle.
I thought it was Michelle.
No.
It was White?
So it was White. Yeah, it was James White. And he just got absolutely obliterated in the backfield.
They missed it on the call. It was
so White. They said it on the call. Yeah, that's why I got confused. Yeah, I thought they said Michelle.
And an 8 and a 6 can look a lot alike.
Anyway. But the whole first half was too cute.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so, there was a lot of that.
So it's a lead off to my... I thought yesterday, just to reset my, main takeaway of the game, I thought yesterday was an ugly win. A lot of people put the ugly win on the Buffalo game, and I didn't think it was. I thought that was a really nice game for them and a really nice win. And there was one bad play in that Buffalo game, and that was the Brady interception. The rest is just, you're going up against a good defense in a hostile environment and winning a rock fight. I did not think that was an ugly win last week. I thought yesterday was an ugly win. I did not like the offensive game plan. I thought they had the worst defensive play of the year, and it was only one bad play, but that end around was a bad play. And they had some stupid penalties. They weren't ready to start. They had to take a timeout on the first defensive snap of the game.
I've never seen that in my life.
You don't even see that on Herm Edwards teams. That's at the worst of the worst.
They were asleep for the first half of the first quarter.
So I thought yesterday was an ugly win. But the game plan is what bugged me too. Tom Brady threw 31 passes in the first half, which is the most ever in a first half in his career, which is a mind-blowing stat when you consider how many games he's played, how long he's played, and how much they throw the freaking ball. Yesterday, 34 attempts, he was sacked 3 times, 31 pass attempts, 34 dropbacks, was the most ever for Tom Brady in the first half of a game. To which I said, why? Why? The Redskins are ranked 29th in the league against the run, and they rank poor against the pass, too. So, you should have been able to pick your poison. I'm just curious why they picked that one. Especially when you have a game in 4 days here. This is really a game you could just hand the ball off to one of your 5 running backs and get the hell out of there. Yet they had Brady in shotgun. They had the no huddle, and they were just slinging it all over the place. Brady was getting hit. So what was up with that game plan?
Well, maybe it related to Thursday night. Maybe the whole idea was, let's chuck it around. We'll get a big lead early, and then we can just back off. And, we're not handing it off to someone getting pounded because we're playing again in 4 days. And so, the idea was that they'd be able to throw effectively. Brady wouldn't get hit. They'll score a ton of points fast. They'll demoralize the Redskins and they'll coast. And then they'll get ready for Thursday night. And instead, they had to play through the third quarter, really. Is what it amounted to, because the fact that it was a game at halftime was a joke.
So I just thought, I get it. Trounce them early, get everybody out, rest them for Thursday. It just wasn't working.
No, not even close.
It wasn't working. So they figured it out at half, and they adjusted at half, and then, went on to roll. But it was that first half. It was that first half. And I didn't like the approach. And so was that the idea or something else? Something to do with this little tug that we're hearing with the quarterback and his weapons and how they play. I mean, certainly Brady wasn't any even though they blew doors in the second half, they ran the ball down their throats. They ended up with 33 points on the board. Brady still won, didn't treat it like a really good win. I mean, here he's asked about his feel for the offense. This was in the post game. Are you getting a feel for the offense? This is what he said.
It could be a lot better. So I think that's how we feel.
So if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. That's what I would file that under.
He's just searching to say the right thing there.
It could be a lot better.
I mean, he could.
So I think that's how we feel.
He could easily say, We got off to a slow start, but we figured it out. And by the end, we were in rhythm and putting up points on the board, and we feel good about
it. Yeah, we found ourselves a little bit more in the second half.
Like, I mean, why couldn't you?
Yeah. Even if that was a lie, it's a more palatable lie than.
Well, no, but I mean, he's not lying there. He's just, you know, I have nothing good to say, so I'm not going to say anything. Right. Well, right.
More palatable answer.
But literally, if this were the old Brady, that's what he would have said. Slow start. We need to work on some things, but we figured it out at half. We got into a rhythm in the second, put a lot of points on the board, and came away with the win. We feel good about it. That's what he would have said 10 years ago.
Yeah, he's not over the Brown thing yet.
He's not at that place.
No, he's not over it yet. And again, to me, it all relates to the passing game. He just looks at. Now, oddly enough, his rating yesterday was 106. It would have been higher if he hadn't thrown that stupid pick down by the goal line, which was a horrendous throw, a lollipop special.
What was his completion percentage?
67%. He was 28 of 42.
Okay. Which leads
two
to.
Two out of every three passes he hit.
So, still not happy. He's still not happy. He's still in that thing.
And after yesterday's game, I have a little bit more sympathy for him, especially with the offensive line, because it looks like that thing is a complete sieve. And guys that you normally can trust, like Marcus Cannon, look like they were on roller skates. The devoid of playmakers thing, I mean, that's just not true, because you still have Edelman, you still have Josh Gordon. They're just really beat up right now. So I still think he's going overboard. But again, I have a little more sympathy.
Okay, so the lack of receiver thing and the offensive line thing, I think there's a little nuance to that I want to get to coming up next. And the amount of sacks Brady took in this game and the pressure that he faced in this game. Something occurred to me watching this yesterday. So I'll give you that take. We'll get to your calls all the final hour as well. Again, there was breaking news today on the Patriots with a pretty big roster move and a maneuver. So someone's out. Who's coming in? The very latest here in the update, 90 seconds, no commercials. We come back, and I'll also tell you how you can win free Patriots tickets this week. Maybe most importantly, how you can win freebies if you don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.